to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Throw does over the middle.
There you go!
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot, and Gretzky ends 3-0. Los Angeles, Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of the cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time tonight, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Good show lined up tonight. Kyle Rowland will join us at 5:15 tonight. Kyle, of course, the beat writer, Toledo Blade, University of Michigan football. He was at the game, of course, on Saturday. We're going to get a Red Wings update tonight at 5:35 with Greg Krupa of the Detroit News. Red Wings have lost 4 straight, 3 of those in overtime. They're hanging in there, 3rd in their division. And that Eastern Conference race is going to be a dogfight right down to the last week in the National Hockey League campaign in both the East and the West. Again, glad to have you on board, everybody, as always, coming to you. This show driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik, and all of our guests appear courtesy of the Vito's Pizza phone line. Jim Cushlin is back at the studios. First things first, a little bit surprised here. I saw the line today on the Ohio State Wisconsin game. Ohio State is favored by 5.5. Of course, that's a neutral site game. It's in Indianapolis. It started at 6.5, and it looks like money started going in Wisconsin's direction rather quickly. It is down to 5.5. Hats off to the University of Toledo Rockets. They'll play in the MAC title game. That is coming up Saturday, by the way, at noon. Toledo's a 17-point favorite over Akron. Big weekend. Ohio State, of course, winning 31-20 over Michigan. How about Auburn over Alabama, 26-14. Miami beats Pittsburgh, so the number 1 and 2 teams in the country go down. Wisconsin rolls on by a score of 31-0 over Minnesota. And Stanford, they beat Notre Dame 38-20. So a big weekend of college football. We'll talk about that again with Kyle Rowland at 5:15 tonight. Now, I don't know. I read in a couple of sites today that Matt Campbell really was in the mix for the Tennessee job. And, of course, that $9.5 million buyout situation seemed to be part of the equation there. But unbelievable. Another University of Toledo coach, Matt Campbell, off to, of course, Iowa State, doing great things there, in the mix now for almost every head coaching job that has come up in the last couple of days, and there has been an absolute slew of them. My thoughts on the Michigan-Ohio State game. Listen, it goes without saying the University of Michigan needs a quarterback, and they need it rather quickly. I mean, it takes just a casual observer, John O'Korn, who is a fifth-year senior, by the way. Listen, he threw for 195 yards, could not come up with a big play when he needed it, and all of a sudden JT Barrett goes down, and that whole scenario was started by him getting run over by a cameraman during the first portion of the game, and all of a sudden you have a freshman come in, again against a fifth-year senior, and that freshman come in, and he did wonderful, wonderful job, by the way. Dwayne Haskins, 6-for-7, threw for 94 yards, ran for a touchdown. Ohio State wins it 31-20. Michigan, they came out of the box. I said this, of course, last weekend. Coaches will tell you this all the time. I know it's a cliche. I know it's coach speak, but I think it's one of the more important things the coaches are responsible for, and that is having your team ready. Jim Harbaugh had the Michigan Wolverines ready to play. In fact, they got up 14-0. They made it to 7-0 on a run by Hill, 7-0 Michigan.
They give it to Hill, tries to push forward. Can he get in? Touchdown, Wolverine. 13-play drive, covering 77 yards. Michigan eats up 5 minutes and 46 seconds.
You're thinking at that point, well, you know, it's one touchdown. Then Michigan went up 14-0 before JT Barrett scores for the Ohio State Buckeyes to make it 14-7.
Barrett dancing. Barrett runs it. Barrett first down. Barrett touchdown, Ohio State. JT Barrett is putting this offense on his shoulders, and the Buckeyes finally on the board.
Buckeyes on the board indeed, and the tight end Bogd, he catches a touchdown pass, and the Buckeyes tie the game 14-all.
Barrett to throw it. Barrett, wide open ball, touchdown, Buckeyes! And just like that, Ohio State with an opportunity to level this game at 14.
Well, indeed, they did level the game at 14. That was the halftime score. Michigan comes back, and boy, how about Higdon? What a great-looking running back he is. Michigan takes a 20-14 lead. They missed the extra point. Here's Michigan's touchdown again to give them a six-point lead.
They give it to Higdon. Touchdown, Michigan.
Dobbin then for the Buckeyes comes back. Buckeyes take a 21-20 lead. They do convert on the extra point.
Dobbins. Touchdown, Buckeyes. Just like that, a redshirt freshman comes in the game and leads Ohio State into the end zone for six.
For six, indeed, 21-20 for the Buckeyes. O'Korn obviously felt bad for the kids, saw the press conference after the game, couldn't get it done. Here's an interception, and it was a big one, you know, really sealing the fate for the University of Michigan Wolverines.
At their own 27, play fake. O'Korn goes deep. Intercepted by Ohio State. Jordan Fuller with the ball. And the Buckeyes are out of bounds at midfield. The first turnover of the game.
First turnover of the game, indeed. Then Weber took it home for the Buckeyes. 31-20. Here's Mike Weber.
Weber. And Weber picks up the first down. Weber racing to the end zone. Touchdown, Buckeyes.
Touchdown, Buckeyes. They win at 31-20. They have Wisconsin, again, a 5.5-point favorite Saturday night, 8 o'clock from Indianapolis for the Buckeyes. Back with Kyle Rowland here on Drive Time, coming to you from the showroom tonight. The show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. My name is Mike Miller. Right around the corner, Rowland.
Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Going to talk Red Wings at 5:35 tonight. Greg Krupa will join us. Wings have lost four straight, but in three of those games, they have picked up a point, losing in overtime. Again, Red Wings, good story today on David Booth. Journeyman, by the way, Florida Panthers, even went and played in the Continental League in Russia, came back and wrote the Red Wings about 33-year-old guy, said, hey, listen, I think I can help. He's a Detroit area guy. A couple of goals the other night, playing now on Detroit's top line. Again, Greg Krupa coming up at 5:35 tonight. This is Toledo Sports Leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. And by the way, this show is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Haven't talked to this guy in a while. I read the Blade daily. I know he's been busy. I've been scrutinizing his work. Kyle Rowland joins us. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you?
Very good. Thanks, as always. First things first, if you're doing your job 2 years from now and I'm still doing this one, Are we going to be talking about Jim Harbaugh as coach of the Michigan Wolverines?
Yeah, I think without question. I don't think the NFL is near as likely a possibility right now as people make it out to be, and I think the hot seat is somewhat of a fallacy. I mean, unless things get really, really bad, as in Michigan having losing seasons, which I don't really foresee that happening, I think Jim Harbaugh is going to be at Michigan for quite a while.
Again, talking to Kyle Rowland, beat writer, University of Michigan, among other things as well. I mean, it's listen, I don't want to be a master of the obvious here, but everybody writes about it, everybody sees it, everybody's witnessed it. They need a quarterback. There's no doubt about that. Never more evident when a redshirt freshman comes off the bench for Ohio State and Dwayne Haskins against a fifth-year senior who, believe me, I felt bad for like everybody else, but John O'Korn couldn't get it done. And as you mentioned, Michigan stacking up some talent, but it is the most important position on the field. It's like trying to win a hockey game without good goaltending. Doesn't happen very often.
That's a good comparison, Mike. Without a doubt, I think that's what's holding Michigan back at this point. I mean, they are basically one position away from being a very good college football team. And Ohio State is kind of the example you can show. I mean, that's the difference between those two programs right now. I mean, Ohio State has JT Barrett, who's been a stalwart for 4 years, and behind him, they had a guy who was able to lead a comeback on Saturday. So I think Michigan was heading that way, too, though. I think they had a retro freshman named Brandon Peters that, if he played on Saturday, I mean, I really think right now we're talking about, hey, has the rivalry shifted? What's going on here? But there's no doubt that in the offseason they have to identify either Brandon Peters or Dylan McCaffrey, now that Wilton Spate is going to be transferring elsewhere. And one of those guys needs to seize the position. And for the next 3 or 4 years, they could be the guy. And if they're, you know, an elite quarterback, I think Michigan's going to be a Big Ten and national contender.
Kyle Rowland joins us here on Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, coming to you from the Superstore. Kyle appears in the Vito's Pizza phone line. In perfect order for some of my notes, Kyle, that I had jotted down here, you mentioned Wilton Spate. Tell me a little bit about that and what's behind it in your eyes, and anything here that, you know, we're not reading or not seeing that, you know, you've noticed about him, again, announcing he was transferring.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't super shocked by it. I thought it was trending that way. He's a good quarterback, and I think he's better than people give him credit for. But I think it was just time for Michigan to go in a different direction and go to one of the young guys, especially Peters. I understand he wasn't, you know, lighting the world on fire by any means, but he looked very solid. So I think Michigan needed to just go with youth and have a guy that was going to be a starter for, you know, 3 or maybe 4 years as McCaffrey wins the competition. And I think Wilton Spate's going to transfer to another, you know, FBS school, and I think he's going to serve him well. I mean, I think he's a great kid. He's a good leader, and he's a solid quarterback. I mean, he's from Virginia, so I think Virginia Tech, North Carolina State, those were all schools he picked Michigan over when he came, so I would not be surprised if, you know, one of those ended up being his landing spot.
Yeah, here's something, too, and again, this is thinking out loud what you do on the radio, but I got, you know, we talked about Michigan, you know, stockpiling talent in almost every other position, at, you know, besides the quarterback position, again, not to be redundant here, which is the most important position on the field, and how well the recruiting's gone under Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. On the other side of the coin, you know, Ohio State's going to be recruiting with a lot of the nation's best talent. Likewise, I would say that Penn State might be in that same book. Wisconsin as well is going to get some good athletes. Maybe not as good as Ohio State and maybe Michigan, but regardless of what Michigan does, bringing in, you know, top-notch athletes and 4- and 5-star and good athletes to that program. The Big Ten isn't standing still. Kyle, their competition level against the schools I just mentioned, and that's leaving Michigan State out of the mix, which Michigan can't beat. And nobody's going in the wrong direction that they have to play. So tell me a little bit about that. That's what makes the Big Ten, I think, over the last couple of years, that they're going in the right direction as well. But the competition's not going to be any less for Michigan.
Yeah, all that added up, I think, is why next year is such a critical year for Michigan. Michigan State's going to be very good. Ohio State's going to be very good. Penn State's going to be very good. And then in the other division, I mean, Wisconsin, I'm sure, will be solid as usual. So there's going to be just a ton of competition, like you said. And I think 10-2, if Michigan were to go that next year, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But they need to get to November and kind of be in the hunt for something. And, you know, finish first or second in the division, beat Ohio State, beat Michigan State. They just have to really show something. Not that I don't think that would put Harbaugh on the hot seat or anything. But recruiting off the field and then playing on the field, I mean, it's only going to continue to get tougher and tougher. Because, I mean, they arguably play in the toughest division in college football, which, I mean, it's kind of remarkable. I mean, who would have ever kind of dreamed that was going to happen? I mean, I think when Harbaugh came, no one really foresaw Penn State completely taking off. And people kind of thought, oh, this is the end of Michigan State. Obviously, it's been the opposite, really. It almost, in a way, reminds you of like when LeBron came back with the Cavs. It's like, oh, they're going to be great. They're going to win all these titles. No one knew that Golden State was going to end up being possibly one of the best dynasties in the history of sports.
You know what? That's a great comparison. No question about it. And you know what? I like what you just said, and I have not put that in perspective. Might be the toughest division in college football. No question about it.
Yeah, and I think the thing, Michigan, this year was always going to be kind of a fallback year. I mean, I think 9-3 would have been a lot better than 8-4. But they've lost so many guys. It can't be understated how much they lost. And, losing to Ohio State, obviously unacceptable, and Michigan State. I mean, I know they're good teams or whatever, but you just got to eventually beat your rivals. Where Michigan still isn't quite up to an Ohio State is the depth. I mean, I know they've recruited really well, but they don't have the depth where they can lose 10 starters on defense and have, you know, quarterbacks be injured. They just can't replace that with guys who are just ready to shine necessarily. But I think that's coming. You know, in a year or two, they will kind of be up where they have, you know, four consecutive good recruiting classes. And I don't foresee, you know, Harbaugh, you know, missing out on a ton of guys in recruiting just if you look at his track record. So I still think the trajectory is very good. Long term, I would buy Jim Harbaugh stock.
Okay. And listen, I had somebody say this to me on Saturday. By the way, special thanks to my daughter Kayla and her fiance Chris, who threw a heck of a party. It was split about 50-50. We enjoyed some Vito's Pizza, by the way. No shock there. I had somebody say to me, Mike, you think, you mentioned Michigan's team that graduated all those folks. Somebody said, Mike, what do you think about the 11 guys that went to the National Football League for Michigan? If they played for Urban Meyer or played for Nick Saban, would they have finished third in the division? Give me an observation on that. I thought it was a great question. So Michigan's basically saying we had all these great guys. We still finished a third. Now we're in transition, waiting to get better. I guess the question is, you had 11 drafted players there last year and you finished third in a division. I didn't really have an answer. What's your answer to that?
No, I agree. I mean, last year was an absolute missed opportunity for Michigan. There's no other way to cut it. I mean, everything was there for the taking. They had a defense that was good enough to win the national championship, and they flat blew it against Ohio State. They were up 10 points in that game, you know, in the second half, and everything kind of fell apart for them in the fourth quarter. That said, they were essentially an inch away from making the playoff. I know at the end of the day they still lost the game, but they were close. But I don't know. I guess you can kind of split hairs on, you know, any coach, and except maybe Nick Saban. I mean, if you say, you know, what would those players have done with Urban Meyer or Nick Saban, I could say, incredibly, Urban Meyer still only won one Big Ten championship at Ohio State. I know he also won a national title, but that's still kind of a stat that's like, whoa, I can't believe it.
You know what? That's a great answer, and that puts perspective on the whole thing. And perspective, as you touched on before, Kyle, on the Big Ten. And I give Michigan credit for this, and I know it's coach speak. And I know it's a cliche, but I've interviewed a ton of coaches over the last 40 years, and you ask about what's the key to tonight's game, and the majority of them say, got to get off to a good start. We got to be ready to play tonight. I give Jim Harbaugh credit for this. Michigan came out ready to play. And when you're talking a physical sport, whether it's hockey or whether it's football, when there's contact, you better be ready. Michigan was ready to go. No question about that.
Yeah, I mean, they came out that first quarter. I mean, it was a dream start for Michigan, every way you cut it. 14-0 lead the first play into the second quarter. I don't think anyone could ever imagine that was going to happen, whether you're a Michigan fan, a Michigan player, a Michigan coach, whatever. I don't think you would have guessed they'd be up 14-0. I just felt like they were doomed all week just with the quarterback situation. I mean, John O'Korn's a nice kid. He's a great team player. I just don't think he's a particularly good quarterback. So I thought Michigan was in major, major trouble. Obviously, he missed a lot of open receivers through critical interception at the end of the game, which kind of cost them. But Michigan played really hard. They had a great game plan. They really put the offense in position to succeed, on virtually every play. I mean, it really seemed like they kind of outcoached Ohio State in some, manners. But at the end of the day, Ohio State much more talented. Michigan kind of fell apart a little in the second half, which has been a theme this season in these four losses. They scored 0 points in the fourth quarter of all four of their losses, which obviously is a bad, bad thing.
No, that's a great number, too. Absolutely good number, Kyle, there. I thought the two big plays, was it third and eight, and he overthrew the kid that was wide open. Then was it to Metellus, had a pick just before J.T. Barrett went in. That would have been a huge play as well. So great stuff, Kyle. Thanks for coming on. We'll be reading. Keep up the good work, and appreciate you taking the time, as always.
Of course. Appreciate it, Mike.
That is Kyle Rowland, beat writer, Toledo Blade, talking Michigan football. This is Drive Time. Of course, TAS Electronics Update right around the corner. My name is Mike Miller, show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Go check out the drone mobile on your phone. Also serves as a remote car starter. Also, you can track your vehicle, lock your keys inside, no problem. The drone on your phone at TAS Electronics. Update, sports, weather, traffic. Traffic is always brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. My name's Mike Miller, coming to you from the Superstore in Monroe.
Annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Talk some Michigan football. Kyle Rowland coming to you from the Superstore tonight. All the guests, of course, on this show, courtesy of Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. Now, Michigan-Ohio State football, big weekend coming up. Rockets taking on Akron for the MAC championship. Buckeyes taking on Wisconsin for the Big Ten championship. Again, that time of the year. Caught in the mix just a little bit and have not paid probably as much attention as I wanted to just because of all the local football going on has been the Detroit Red Wings. They've lost four straight, but in those four games, they've at least gotten a point getting beat in overtime. You better be getting points in the National Hockey League the way things are with the extra points given as soon as you get past the 60-minute mark. You better at least get one. Detroit's doing that. Third in their division, still in the hunt. And Greg Krupa now joins us, Detroit News, a beat writer for the Detroit News and the Red Wings. Hello, Greg. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Very good. Really enjoyed your story on David Booth. I mean, I don't know how you can't enjoy somebody that's had a journey like him, a 33-year-old guy, and here the Red Wings, trying to get some scoring from almost any part of their roster over the last couple of years. And here comes a guy that went and played in the Continental League. He's a local guy out of the Detroit area, came up drafted by the Florida Panthers organization. A nice story, and, sounds like a guy that you want to root for, David Booth.
Yeah, he, if he expressed it, it was a situation in which some people had lost confidence in him, and at times he'd even lost confidence in himself. And, I think we hear that from hockey players in their mid-30s or so. He's 33 now. He's got a birthday on the 24th, I believe. And, you know, you hear players coming in about that age, 35, 36, 37 years old, who say that, and often enough, that is it for them. There's a reason for the loss of confidence. And, you know, this is a real nice bounce back for him. Couple rough years in the KHL over in Russia where he had to go play. That opened his eyes to what life was like in America. He said, you know, a professional tryout with Florida that did not work out. You know, he was traded from Florida to Vancouver at one point in his career and had some injuries there, had some concussion problems down in Florida after, you know, amid three big seasons, right after a 30-goal season, if memory serves. He even had some injuries at Michigan State he had to fight through in his 4 years there. So this is a guy who's really stuck to it all through the years. And, you know, at age 33, has been looking at maybe being out of the NHL for, you know, a third season. And now all of a sudden he's playing with Henrik Zetterberg and Gustav Nyquist on the top line. He scored 2 goals in the last game.
It is a great story. Not only is he back, but he's playing with Nyquist, of course, and Zetterberg. I loved it. Enjoyed reading it today. Red Wings, Greg Krupa, again, they've got 3 points in their last 4 games. You get a point, of course, in the NHL for overtime or shootout losses. So they're not going forward a ton, but they're not going backwards either.
Yeah, you know, I think it's pretty much consistent with last year's play, maybe a little bit more solid along the blue line with Trevor Daley in the lineup. If they could keep the Kaiser in there, that might help. But, you know, I think they're just a little bit improved over last year. Jimmy Howard outstanding in net. Peter Mrazek not getting much of a shot, but when he's in there, he's generally looked pretty good. One sort of rough outing for him, but it's kind of understandable when you come in cold off the bench. What strikes you about this team for a second year in a row, I think, Mike, is they've got to be awfully good, each guy in the lineup every night to win. They can be pretty good and still lose, and I think we've already seen that 4 or 5 times this season where they play a pretty darn good game and it's not enough to win. So I think it's the state of the lineup and, you know, in this transitional rebuilding on the fly phase of theirs, and that's the way it is.
Again, talking to Greg Krupa, Detroit News beat writer, Detroit Red Wings. Hey, I've read your stories and other outposts, and I've talked to a few people as well in my travels. Anthony Mantha, at some nights, looks like, you know what, looks like an all-star winger. Then he kind of disappears for a couple nights, and in his words said, gliding around a little bit, which frustrating for a lot of folks every now and then. Tell me about him and his progress. We know the skill level, Greg, he can finish. And if you could finish in the National Hockey League now with goaltenders, with the size of the pads and players not seeing a lot of the net when they're shooting, let's face it, it's not the mid-70s here. If you can score, he's got, 20 points in 24 games and 11 goals. I mean, you're going to ride him out, but he's got to get more consistent as well.
There's no doubt about that, and I think the good news on that front is, you know, some stuff we've been reporting last couple of seasons where, you know, a guy like Zetterberg will tell you that Mantha comes to him after games sometimes and says, here's what I did wrong, and he kind of, you know, lists it, like sort of 1, 2, 3, and I got to improve on this, and it's a good thing for a veteran to hear that sort of reassures Zetterberg that Mantha really does get it and really is about, you know, improving his game. I think the problem that we're seeing is that, you know, over time, since he's emerged from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, which is tends to be, you know, they hate when we say this, Mike, but it tends to be a more offensive, don't they? It tends to be more of an offensive league than a two-way league, if we could put it that
way. I knew where you were going with this, Greg. Unbelievable,
yeah.
Because it's been like that for as long as I can remember.
Oh, since Guy Lafleur. Anyway, if not before. But anyway, you know, it's... The point I was making is that, you know, we've heard it on and off about Mantha in his career, and we hear it from the Red Wings, whether it's from Jeff Lashel or a couple years ago from Jim Devolano, and then we hear it from Mantha. He says, I know this is going on. I know I need to be better. And I don't think it's Mantha just a PR thing saying I understand what they're saying. I think Anthony actually gets it. So what do we have here? I think we've got a player who's going to be a little bit like this perhaps throughout his career, but in my mind, I don't think that's going to preclude him from being an outstanding player. I think he is very, very talented. I think generally he will have his head in the right place. Do I think that 5-6 years from now we'll look at him and wonder if he was floating? Yeah, I think we will. And I think that's true of a lot of power forwards in the league. More true of Anthony than some other power forwards. We'll see.
Ken talking to Greg Krupa here on Drive Time. He comes via the Vito's Pizza phone line, ingredients so that you can trust. Boy, you look at the East, too. This is a whole nother situation, Greg Krupa. New Jersey's got, better all of a sudden. Columbus right in the mix as well. And the New York Islanders and Tampa leading the Atlantic. Toronto there, they have a bullet pointed upwards. Red Wings in third. Then you got Washington, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, Boston, Carolina. Has got better, a little bit inconsistent. Ottawa's okay. I mean, you better be getting points on a nightly basis. The only two teams that look like they're really, well, Montreal's been horrid. In fact, Detroit's got them very interesting Thursday and on Saturday night. L.A. Kings at the Little Caesars Arena on Tuesday night. So some big hockey games coming up, but you better in the Eastern Conference of the National Hockey League this year. You better not grab some type of extended slump here, 5, 6, 7 games without a point, or you're in real trouble.
Well, and it sort of accentuates another thing that's going on with the Wings where we've got this. I'm trying to count them up quickly here. You have basically like 15 out of 17 games, 16 out of 18 games, beginning November 11th and extending through December 15th, are all in Little Caesars Arena. And they're not fattening up at home in the way that they could have and should have, I would say, so far. And you'd like to see them do that for – they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the next 7 games are in Little Caesars Arena. And you'd certainly like to see them come out of that with a bushel full of points. But, you know, I think it gets back to if they want to make the playoffs. And if not, if they're going to be sellers at the deadline, maybe get rid of Mike Green, maybe try to get a top draft choice. We'll see how all that goes in the offseason. But I think it all underlines that they really are a franchise in flux. Like the Devils, like, Avalanche. They're pretty much those, 90s and early 2000s teams that were on top and that are sort of on, the bottom side of things now, trying to move up and, I'm very impressed with what the Devils have been able to do, with what Shiro, the general manager, has been able to do in terms of gathering some young players there. They look like they've got 5 or 6 guys who are really, look like they could be stars in the NHL, and are doing pretty well right now, where the Wings have sort of 3 of those guys, and you're hoping for more.
No question. Hey, before I let you go, you touched on something here, which you mentioned Little Caesars Arena, and the Red Wings must gather points there. First year in the building, I mean, I would think there was a distinct advantage at Joe Louis Arena for many years as home ice advantage. Is it possible to have home ice advantage in a brand spanking new building over the visiting teams that come in?
Well, I think home ice advantage might be a little bit overplayed anyway, eh? And maybe in all sports, being the home team. I think especially in an age where players are moving in and out of franchises on the basis of free agencies, it's not like it was in the old days where you play 20 years in one town and that's where you play, or you play 10 years and maybe move on to another town for 3 years and get used to that one. So, I think maybe it's a little overrated anyway, but yeah, I think what's downplaying it in the Joe also is the lack of people actually sitting in the seats to watch these games. I mean, most of these games are about 2/3 or maybe 4/5 full with all the attractions, out on this grand concourse that they have that's sort of like, the main intersection of the city of Detroit now where people can mingle. And also I think there's probably some no-shows because they didn't play well last year and they're not that great this year. So home ice advantage really helps when you're a hot team and you really need to win in a big game and the place is going nuts. We haven't seen that yet in this building, and until the Red Wings are that kind of team, we may not see it.
Good stuff, Greg. Thanks. Great hearing your voice. Appreciate you coming on, and somewhere down the road, we'll touch base again. Talk to you soon.
Always great to talk with you, Mike. Thanks for getting in touch.
That's Greg Krupa, Detroit News beat writer for the Red Wings. Talk Michigan football, Red Wings tonight here in Drive Time. Driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Back to close it out after this. Another edition of Drive Time in the books.